Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. The new civilian government of Iran and the programs proposed by Prime Minister Shapur Bakhtiar have taken a major step toward parliamentary confirmation. The Iranian Senate, acting ahead of schedule, gave its approval this morning. And we'll hear about it from Bert Quint.
The vote seemed impressive. 38-4, one against, and two abstentions. But nearly a third of the senators were absent. It wasn't clear whether some had left Iran or whether it was a matter of senators not wanting to be associated with what could be the Shah's last government. The other House of Parliament is expected to give its vote of confidence tomorrow, thus legally installing the Bakhtiar government. It is believed the Shah will leave Iran soon after that. Bakhtiar was asked whether he thought his government would have a chance to prove itself, given the opposition of religious leader Khomeini, now in exile but expected to come to Iran soon to set up his government. Bakhtiar said, Khomeini isn't a politician and will not take a direct role in government. Asked about Khomeini's stated intention to be Iran's strongman, Bakhtiar said, well, he is the strongman. Bert Quint, CBS News, Tehran.
Reports reaching Tehran say an American has been murdered in the southern city of Kerman, where he was working at a copper complex. He is unofficially identified as Martin Berkowitz, a former U.S. Air Force colonel and Vietnam War veteran. Israel, which faces a cutoff of Iranian oil under the Bakhtiar government, has begun drilling a new oil well in the Gulf of Suez off the occupied Sinai coast. It's the eighth well to be drilled in the Alma field, which Israel developed after it captured the Sinai in the 1967 war. The Alma field now produces about 13% of Israel's oil requirements. The first session of the 96th Congress commences today, and Mariah McLaughlin reports that in the House of Representatives, the dominant domestic issue of federal spending is likely to come up almost immediately.
The big battle, the battle of the budget, will start early in the House as President Carter strives to hold the 1980 deficit below $30 billion and curb inflation. It's unlikely that many new programs will be approved. Proposals for national health insurance, aid to cities, and that huge and costly overhaul of the welfare system could be scaled down or put aside for another year. And existing programs will be re-examined to eliminate waste and excessive spending, assuring some social programs will be trimmed, angering liberal Democrats, minorities, and labor. But as the paring and the trimming goes on, no major cuts are expected to be made in the defense budget. So, as always, the main debate in the House will be about money, but with this year's overall emphasis on spending less, not more. Mariah McLaughlin, CBS News, Washington.
The new Senate, which will apparently be more conservative than the old Senate, will be preoccupied with controversial foreign policy matters. And Phil Jones has the story on that.
There will be lengthy hearings on the Chinese issue, with attempts being made to pass legislation that will lock the U.S. into supporting Taiwan if that tiny island is ever attacked by mainland China. On the Middle East, Majority Leader Robert Byrd has already warned the Israelis that the Senate will not be so forthcoming with foreign aid if Israel refuses to make compromises in the peace effort started at Camp David. And the Senate is expected to get a strategic arms limitation treaty with the Soviet Union for ratification. Members of both parties are warning that ratification will be difficult and, in fact, impossible if the agreement cannot be verified through U.S. reconnaissance satellites. Beneath all these foreign policy debates will be more questioning of Mr. Carter's handling of defense and foreign affairs matters, and an increasing demand that the Senate be consulted more instead of being told by the president after he has decided U.S. policy. Bill Jones, CBS News, the U.S. Senate.
Pennsylvania's Democratic Representative Daniel Flood returns to Congress today for his 16th term, and that event coincides with the start of his trial on federal charges of bribery, conspiracy, and perjury. Fred Graham tells us about it.
Dapper, mustachioed, unconventional Congressman Daniel Flood will have a trial to match his flamboyant image. It's the first time a congressman has ever been brought to trial for allegedly doing so many illegal things in so many different ways. According to the indictments, Flood took bribes from eight different people in exchange for his influence, bullied numerous bureaucrats into doing favors for those who paid the bribes, and then lied under oath in court and before a grand jury when he denied taking the money. Representative Flood's trial is expected to turn into what is known among lawyers as a swearing contest, with a parade of witnesses swearing he took bribes and Flood swearing that they're lying because they themselves have committed crimes and are trying to win lenience by implicating him. As if to add insult to injury, by coincidence, the members of the House of Representatives will be sworn in as a group on Capitol Hill this afternoon, while Representative Flood is scheduled to be in court for the jury selection phase of his trial. Fred Graham, CBS News, Washington.
Flood is chairman of the Appropriations Subcommittee that handles the budgets of the HEW and Labor Departments. Early in the new Congress, an attempt may be made to oust Flood from the chairmanship, but he is expected to retain it. The nation's second city today is suffering some of the fiercest winter weather ever recorded there. Bob Fall reports from Chicago.
Still trying to dig out from the blizzard of 79, Chicago is now shivering through a near-record cold wave, which has plunged temperatures to around 20 degrees below zero. Already, Illinois' governor has declared the region a disaster area. While most major roads have been plowed, side streets are impassable, and drifting has created impossible conditions. Some trains and buses can't move through snowbanks and ice, and those which can move barely creep along, virtually assuring a morning of chaos and lengthy delays. To minimize each, Chicago's mayor has asked businesses here to stagger the schedules of employees. It will be days before Chicago fully recovers, and the recovery might be temporary. Chicagoans have now been told to brace themselves for another major storm by midweek. Bob Fall, CBS News, Chicago.
O'Hare Airport outside Chicago was closed to all flights at midday Saturday, but it's reopening on a limited basis this morning. The weather has virtually paralyzed large other areas of the Midwest. Record low temperatures are commonplace. There have been numerous traffic accidents, some fatalities, and thousands of travelers are stranded. The new Congress that assembles today in Washington may soon be taking up legislation of special interest to the country's young men. Mike Pappas has details.
Florida Congressman Charles Bennett intends to introduce a bill on this first day of the new session calling for the reinstatement of military registration for American young men starting this coming October. It would take the virtually dismantled Selective Service System 110 days to locate, register, classify, and induct the first youth if war came. And Bennett says that's far too long to do the country much good.
We really should give the president an option if there was a war threat, not to have a nuclear war. And if we put him in a position where he can't possibly, our country cannot possibly win a conventional war, and we're approaching that now with the small reserves we have, then he would have to opt for a nuclear war if he wants to win the war.
Bennett's bill leaves it up to the Pentagon and others to decide on what form the registration will take. Defense Secretary Harold Brown is studying a list of options now, and the president's recommendations on the matter could go to Congress early in the session. Ike Pappas, CBS News, Washington.
The Federal Trade Commission today begins 2 weeks of hearings in San Francisco on proposals that could affect some commercials on television. Bernard Goldberg has a rundown.
The commission is considering proposals that would ban all television advertising aimed at children 8 years old and younger, and forbid TV ads from any sugared food products aimed at children up to age 12. Many supporters of the proposed ban say young children lack the sophistication to view TV ads with a skeptical eye. One psychologist saying, an ad to a child has the quality of an order, not a suggestion. But opponents of the ban say the Federal Trade Commission proposals are an attack on free enterprise, free speech, and represent a dangerous intrusion by the government into family life. The Federal Trade Commission is to issue its final report that will have an impact on millions of American families late this year. Bernard Goldberg, CBS News, San Francisco.
The Railway Clerks Union and most of the country's railroads have reached a tentative agreement on a new contract to run through March 1981. It contains wage agreements and cost of living adjustments amounting to around 36% over the life of the contract. Hundreds of thousands of workers in Britain have been laid off because of the continuing strike by truck drivers, and the total may reach 1 million by the end of the week unless the walkout is ended. The London Daily Mail reports this morning that Britain's second test tube baby has been born in Glasgow. The mother is a 32-year-old cooking teacher. The United States dollar opened higher today in Western Europe. The Tokyo exchange is closed for a national holiday.